Podcast.
How you doing? This is Ray Winstone, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes. Crack on.
And crack on we shall. Hello, my name's Edward, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes. And with me is...
Jack, as always, yeah.
Hello. And today we've got sort of a depleted show because it's the eve of the blockbuster season.
Yeah, sort of the calm before the storm in terms of the big releases. But we've got a couple for you nonetheless. We've got Blitz, which you saw as your forfeit last week, the new Jason Statham film. Yeah. We've got Win-Win, the new Paul Giamatti dramedy sort of, you know, standard. He pretty much owns his own genre of films now. I think we should come up with a good term for them. We've also got a film called Heartbeats, which is a new Canadian film. Which I saw this week. On top of that, we'll have the usuals, the Stinker and the Stonker, the competition, the DVD reviews, the Quizmaster. We've also got an interview with someone who runs a very exciting website, but we'll save that for the movie news. We'll start with a song, as we always do, and this is from the film Win-Win by The National, exclusively on this soundtrack, actually. You can't get it anywhere else. It's called Think You Can Wait.
Drifting, crying, I was looking for an island. I was slipping under. I pulled the devil down with me one way or another. I'm out of my mind. Think you can wait? I'm way off the line. Think you can wait? We've been running a sleepless run, been away from the baby. Way too long, we've been holding a goodnight gun. We've been losing our exits one by one. I'm out of my mind. Think you can wait? One by one.
There you go, The National there with a song called Think You Can Wait. If you're worried that that might sum up the overall mood of this film, then don't worry, it's a little bit more jolly than that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll crack on with Blitz.
Yes.
Why don't you, Edward, tell us, the audience, about Blitz?
Blitz.
Is it about the war?
No, unfortunately it's not okay. About the war. It's a shame. It's a damn shame. It's not, really. But this is the new Jason Statham film we're talking about. Before that first song there, it's an English, well, I wish I knew it was a completely English film.
Yeah.
Because the director, Elliot Lester, we'll come back to him, he's a bit of an unknown.
Yeah.
So much the fact that I don't know where he's from.
There's definitely more information about us, for instance,
on the internet
than there is about Elliot Lester.
There really is. I know he directed a film a few years ago.
Yeah. We found one, Elliot Lester, that was born in 1893.
Yeah.
But unless he's really, really old, I don't think it's the same one.
No, I don't think so either. It's a shame. This is taken from a novel, and it's a film basically about a serial cop killer.
Mm-hmm.
A serial killer who targets cops.
Okay.
And he's known as the Blitz, or comes to be known as the Blitz. But it's all about Jason Statham character called, you know, Detective Sergeant Tom Brandt.
Oh, right.
Typical,
okay.
Like, from the Camberwell Division.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all from the Camberwell Division. And basically, the first scene, if there was ever a first scene, sort of a prologue, to give you an idea of a character. We get a lot with Bond, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, so it's a pre-title sequence.
This is a pre-title sequence. You get Statham.
But it was better than the Pirates of the Caribbean one.
Yeah, well, he's in his flat. He looks out the window and he sees some youths trying to break into a car.
Okay.
At this point, we're not supposed to know he's a cop, but, you know, don't worry about that. It's not a spoiler. so he goes down and he goes down with his hurling stick.
Yeah, truncheon.
Hurling, as in, you know, the Irish.
Oh, what, the one that they flick out?
Yeah, you know. The Irish.
Is that what it's actually called, a hurling stick?
Yeah, well, I assume it's a hurling stick rather than a hockey stick.
Interesting.
Hurling stick. No reason to suggest he's Irish at all, but for some reason he's got a hurling stick. He comes down and, you know, he goes, you know, I wouldn't do that if I was you, as, you know, you would.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, back off! Like that, and it's like with their standing lives. And he gets his hurling racket. And before he beats into a pulp, he describes what hurling is. And this sort of sums up the film. It's like, the summary of hurling is like, it's like hockey, yeah, crossed with murder.
Is that actually the script?
That was in the script. It's like,
oh dear.
Hurling is, it's crossed between hockey and
does
murder.
Does he do this while sort of pacing around, like...
No, it's sort of, you know, he's kind of twizzles it around, samurai would, a sword.
I can imagine it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then beats the hell out of them, and then bam, hardcore drum and bass titles, Blitz, scared the hell out of me.
So this is an 18 certificate as well. So I imagine they don't
hold
back.
That was great. I actually wrote that down. I was like, brilliant. 18 isn't, you know,
first 18 of the year, maybe.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. No holding back. And it was certainly a bit more exciting. The trailers I went through, I saw the full version of the Conan Barbarian trailer. My word.
I didn't even get through that on the internet.
My word. That, I mean,
3D.
We thought the priest showed you all the film.
Yeah.
I think you got the deleted scenes as well in Conan the Barbarian.
Bits of the director's commentary.
Yeah. But, so, that sort of numbed myself. But and after that scene, you're like, okay, bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not too strenuous. I'm going to enjoy this with a pinch of salt. But unfortunately, they try and cram, and in the back of my mind was a bit of The Shadow Line, because obviously we're all watching that at the moment, and it's fantastic. And, you know, it takes, well, what will be 7 episodes to really sort of understand, you know, a variety of characters in different situations.
Yeah. Although I had a bit of a problem with it this week, but we'll leave that to extracurricular activity at the end.
The fact is, Blitz tries to do that in one 90-minute film.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a shame, because... First of all, it's all the characters wooden,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I'll come back to dialogue. The dialogue's dreadful. I'll come back to it. So what happens is, you know, he get and it turns out that Jason's character, Tom Brandt, he does this quite a lot. You know, he gets hot-headed and, you know, he flashes bad badge and beats the hell out of criminals, and they get a bit annoyed, and Camberwell Division is having a really bad time.
Would you say that he's a bit of a maverick?
You could say he's a bit of a maverick, but, you know, he's been in the business for a long time. He's just fed up. So he just beats them up instead of taking them in. It gets a bit of a ticking off. And the Camberwell Division, it's getting a lot of bad press. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make Camberwell Division look slightly dirty. Not in the way that everyone's crooked, but, you know, it's certainly not the bill.
okay.
It's proper Campbell. Anyway, he's detective sergeant, but his inspector, the boss, well, not the boss, but, you know, the big guy on the field, his wife's just died, and they were best mates. So he's been taking a bit of leave. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Paddy Considine's character, Porter Nash.
Oh, and he's in it.
Yeah.
And he's bland as well, is he?
No, well, you know, the thing is, yeah, he is bless Paddy, because I love his acting style. He really, I love how he pronunciates every word so well. I mean, that wasn't an example.
I loved him in Submarine. I thought he was so good.
In Submarine, he's playing, you know, a proper character. And this, he's like a straight but gay, if that's any reason to have a butt there. But he is in Camberwell Police Division. But,
yeah.
He's a gay, very trim and then slim, and apparently by the book, cop.
Okay.
So they're now partners, essentially. And then some poor woman on parole, now some poor policewoman, gets shot in the head.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, oh, no. And that's a great scene, because you just see, she's just walking along going, she sort of smiles at someone walking past, going, hello. She's like, hello. And then someone taps on her shoulder, she turns around, she gets shot in the head.
Okay.
And then there's a great scene. As soon as she's shot, you don't see anything, and then you see her fall or to the ground. You know there's one of those shots when the camera's up, looking down on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just got a face with blood going over it. And as soon as she hits the ground, it pisses her down with rain. And it's an incredible shot. And it's like, oh, go back to directing school, mate.
Yeah.
Or film school, or whatever. It was terrible. And
is it quite gory stuff, then?
That was slightly gory. It gets a bit gorier when this serial killer just changes his weapon from a gun to a hammer.
That's
a bit gory.
That's nice.
Which is fair enough. Anyway, this serial killer is a real crazy, drugged up guy. He's played by Aidan Gillen, as well as you can play. You know, he's got the most fun in this film, obviously by a mile.
Yeah.
Some again.
You quite rarely see him let himself go. Really, he's always playing quite restrained. Obviously, people know him from the Hammer film that came out earlier this year. What was it called?
Wakewood.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
And also The Wire as well. He played the senator.
Yeah.
And later mayor. Tommy Carchetti.
Well,
and not the first cast of The Wire to turn up in today's show by any means.
No, or recently. Anyway, so he's the crazy guy, and he does it as well as he can. And once he starts killing a couple, he then phones up David Morrissey, who's...
Oh, right, so it's got a pretty good cast.
I know, and you're like... You know, I suppose some actors are only good as their script, and the script is apps. The dialogue, not the story. The story's great. From a novel, make a great film.
Yeah.
The dialogue, it's absolutely atrocious. I don't really need to give you any more
synopsis
apart from, you know, I think the Hurley one sums up pretty well.
Yeah.
But Morrissey, he finds out Morrissey, the journalist, is like a sleazy journalist, and says, I'm going to give you the info. He starts giving the info, calls himself the Blitz. But that sort of story fades away as obviously the police get closer to finding him. You know, his target's eight. He's trying to kill eight people. Yeah, he'll probably kill someone who's quite close to Jason Statham's character.
Yeah,
which will anger even more. and things like that happen. And to be honest, what more can I say about it in terms of plot? You get the gist.
So there's
it's not whodunit; it's when are they going to capture the guy who did it.
Yeah. So there's no sort of element of the like the Crank films or whatever, like sort of with its tongue in its cheek. Or does it take itself a little bit more seriously?
Unfortunately, it does. But I mean, one of the guys he interviews, you know, and Jason Statham, he drinks quite a lot. So, you know, when he's interrogating someone, he doesn't do it, you know, in the police station. He does it in the pub.
Okay.
And the first person he interrogates in the pub is like a witness. And this witness has got two like big pit bulls with muzzles on.
Yeah.
He goes, what are these dogs called? And he says, Posh and Becks. And you're like, writing again, terrible.
Yeah.
And then you think, that's a throwaway line. Mm. Until right at the end, and this is the last, you know, this is like the final scene in the film. Good. The credits.
Shall we tell people that the plot spoiler prior is about to?
No. Posh and Bex do survive, yeah. And so does David Morrissey, the journalist. But the last film is that.
There you go.
as I said, his character fades out. He's hardly anything to do it by the
end. Sure.
Yeah, due to terrible writing. At the end, the journalist, you know, like safe from Seps, Posh and Bex. I don't know how he got Posh and Bex because they're not his dogs. He sets Posh and Max onto the journalist. Okay. So that was supposed to be the director's like, haha, isn't that sort of a metaphor for what, you know, Posh and Max killing, you know, trying to get a journalist? And he just
very
went,
clever.
I just wanted to.
Was it a painful watch or was it just.
No, even though it was 97 minutes long, I still thought it was too long.
Mm. Well, it was a good forfeit then.
So it was. I was upset because I knew the basis. I thought, okay, it's going to be a bit of fun. But unfortunately, due to the terrible dialogue and the sort of cramming of character depth with so too many characters in 97 minutes, can't get a hold of all of them, it lacks massively, unfortunately. And it's terrible.
The writer
is what I don't get. Nathan Parker, he did the screenplay to Moon, but then again there's, and that's all, it's all dialogue between Kevin
exactly
Spacey.
I mean, if there's ever a film where dialogue is completely.
I think, yeah. I know. I assume that Duncan Jones was. Just let them improvise a lot.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell, I'm sure, improvises very, very well, and I'm sure it was quite a free set. I don't want to get bogged down in the Moon.
Yeah.
So great forfeit, terrible film. I didn't enjoy it.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. Well, it's not a shame. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, however bad it was, it wasn't as bad as Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Incidentally.
And it was. Half the length.
Yeah, exactly. brilliant. Okay, well, we'll move on. We've only got threes now, so song time, and then we'll see you on the other side of this for the movie news. This is a track by David Bowie, and it's called Always Crashing in the Same Car from Radio 1.
Every chance that I take. Thank you.
Right, it's time for the competition announcement. Announcing the winner of this week's competition and announcing the clue to next week's competition. Mm-hmm. So it works quite well. Quite a few answers in this week.
Yeah, a good towards one. We got a big push towards the end. I was sort of nudging the people on the Twitter to give it a go because people were struggling. I think because we've made such short clips, people are struggling to Google them and cheat like they always do.
Yeah, shame, but I got it.
You got it, exactly. Yeah, you don't usually... And you got today's one as well.
Yeah, Serena, that's a hat trick.
Okay, so let's just remind ourselves of last week's one.
Now you'll find out why Miss Sherwood always shows up for breakfast, Tom. It's not love, it's my coffee machine.
Yep, so that's a truly awful one. I think we can all agree. And that's actually one of the...
Best Sporting Acts at the Oscars.
Did he? Well, that is madness. To be honest, that whole film, like... Reception-wise, is so mad. It's the most polarizing film I can remember over the last.
You like it?
I remember liking it when I first saw it, and then I watched it. Well, I didn't really watch. I watched about the first half when I was cutting it through it to try and find a good clip.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit all over the place.
I do like it.
And it's far too long.
It's very long, but I do like it.
But yeah, I do like it. There's, I don't know. I can't really decide. It's rare that I can't make up my mind.
Well, but anyway, there's something good in it.
We haven't said who it is. Obviously, it's Jude Law in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Really,
so sorry for the last 2 minutes if you didn't actually know who that is. So I reckon we've got a fair amount in there. I wrote them very small, so it might look like there's less, but there's a fair few. Do you want to pick one out?
Yeah, I'll pick one out.
There's quite pronunciation-wise, there's a... Pronunciation wise, there's a few landmines in there for you.
I'll pick one up.
Okay.
Cordola Schnur.
Okay. Do you want me to have a stab at that? I think you did pretty well there. Yeah. Cordola Schnur. So, congratulations, Cordola. Well done. Let's see what you've won.
So, I've got my 2p.
Okay, so we got the scratch card. If you haven't listened to this show before, you can win up to £100,000 now. Mm-hmm. If you get three numbers on the scratch card that coincide.
That
yeah.
Okay, so very shiny 2P.
Shiny 2P today. Is that
a
new one? What's the year on it?
A can of Coke or something.
Yeah, that's a good experiment.
Yeah.
Sure. Crack on.
2008.
Ooh.
The 2P coin was
good. Fact fans.
100 grand is the first.
Well, that's the best possible start, depending on your outlook.
And the second one is 100 grand as well. So,
oh my goodness,
if you were going to have the best possible start, 200 grand in a row.
Yeah, so one more. You've got, well, how many? Seven more goes.
Seven chances
to get 100 grand. Good luck.
Good luck.
Come on.
5 grand.
Okay.
Oh, 5 grand.
Oh, hello.
Keep doing this.
Oh, this is an exciting one.
£2.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
£25.
That's not good.
So in the next three goes, Cordola, Schnur, you can either win 100 grand or 5 grand. Well, you could potentially win 2 grand or 25 quid.
Yeah.
Or a completely different sum if they all match, next three.
Okay.
But
come on, this is getting a bit Simon Cowell
£1
now. Let's get on with it.
£1,000, nothing. This has to be 5 grand or 100 grand. It's £2.
Sorry.
You're absolutely diddly squat. Deadly
commiserations, squash. But luckily for you, that's not where your prize ends.
No, it's not. And we will give you this card to prove that 200 grands came followed by 25 grands, because that is quite exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Especially for radio listeners.
It's definitely more exciting than Blitz by the sound of it.
Yep.
Okay, right. We've got a new bag now.
This is a pillowcase of fun.
So we're picking out a DVD that we'll send to you. I put some more in there, yeah.
I've got to put some in myself. The only one I put in has been Taken.
What is it?
I'm talking about Taken. No, I'm joking.
No, it's not Taken. I don't own Taken. What is it?
It's The Godfather Part 2.
Well,
some say the best Godfather made.
Well, some say the best film ever made. So that's I would say,
that's
you can't get much
incredible.
Better than that.
It's
you
double disc.
You may well... Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that.
They're both Godfather Part 2, though.
Yeah, you can't sell it for retail purposes because it's one of the box set trilogy that I bought that I've lost. So I had to buy them on Blu-ray, but that will be in the post on its way to you. So well done.
Oh, yeah. So congratulations.
Okay, right, and we'll give you the clip for this week, which you got. It's quite an easy one, so I expect quite a few people will get it. Well, I mean, you know, let's have a listen.
The name for a father sounds like God. I make mistake.
Okay.
Hysterical.
So that, I think that's quite easy, yeah. Aren't foreign people funny?
Yeah.
Terrible film. Well, I don't know. We'll discuss it further next week, I suppose, when we can. So if you think you know who that is, then go to celluloidheroesradio.com/competition and you can fill in the form there. You can also get in touch via Twitter, which is at @mycelluloidhero. Incidentally, we've also put all of the old Axon Quiz clips up on the website. So you can, if you go to celluloidheroesradio.com and click on past Axon competition clips or whatever it says,
you
can have hours of fun trying to get them that, you know,
of fun that took minutes to create as a website.
It took hours
to create. Yeah,
you wouldn't realize how long it would take to make a little button that shows an answer when you click on it. But let's, you know,
that's
now
HTML
I'm really
code
good at it.
For you.
Exactly. So we'll crack on with the show then. It's movie news time.
This is the news
surrounding film.
Okay, should we crack on with trailers?
The trailer trash.
Yeah.
Still need a jingle for that.
We can't have two jingles in a row.
Yeah, but, you know, trailer trash. I just think it would work with a South American twang.
You can, well, why don't you?
Get Winston to come and do it for us. There's a great South American twang. Okay, bit of trailer trash. I'll start with the most dubious. And this is the new full-length trailer. It's probably, I mean, it might have been out for a bit, but it's the Green Lantern full length.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
Which looks absolutely dreadful. I mean, it looks like a mix between a cartoon, Mars Attacks, and an 80s budget horror film.
Because the original theatrical trailer was quite sort of, you know, bouncy and very like sort of like the first Spider-Man, like quite jokey, and this one's really serious and gothic and.
Jeffrey Rush plays some sort of duck looking thing.
That thing looks
awful.
It's like
the new Jar Jar Binks.
It is. It looks like a cross between a Jar Jar Binks
and Tweety Bird.
And Toilet Duck.
Yeah.
I think that's dreadful. And DC really need that as well because Marvel are picking up the pace considerably. Yeah.
Well, they won't get it. It looks absolutely dreadful. Looking slightly less dreadful, but hit and miss, is something called Salvation Boulevard. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't seen this.
This is a trailer for a sort of black comedy. But, you know, if it's a dramedy, it's a drama, a bit of comedy. But a black comedy is someone actually just being pretty blunt about a serious subject matter. Well, it's not serious, but making a joke out of it.
I know what black comedy is. Yeah, who's in it?
No, but some people take it too far. This hasn't gone that far. But it's a stupid, you know the sort of phenomenon of healing and all those preachers and get the big arenas and all that.
Faith healers.
Yeah. So you got two big guns, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
One's Ed Harris.
Okay.
And one is Piers Brosnan.
Ooh.
Ed Harris gets murdered, Greg Kinnear's in it, and it's a hoo-ha, it's a sort of farcical black comedy about that, you know, about the scene of faith healing. It looks terrible. It's got Jennifer Connelly and Marisa Tomei. I think it's going to be hit and miss. I mean, I can't see Piers Brosnan carrying it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to be the evil, but
he's had a tough time recently.
Yeah.
Brosnan.
Yeah, it has. Ever since Tarantino said that if he did Bond, he'd get him back. He must have.
Yeah. And what was the other? Green with Envy as well.
That looks absolutely dreadful.
This is the new rom-com with
Jason Segel
and
Amy Adams.
But. Even though it looks like the worst trailer in the world, it's a very clever little marketing thing. And we won't give away the surprise, but go to YouTube and look up the, what's it called?
Green with Envy.
The Green with Envy trailer.
Yeah.
And it turns into something quite funny.
Yeah. But certainly trailer trash of the week is Take Shelter.
Okay. Well, I've got loads as well.
Have you heard of Take Shelter?
No.
Well, this will be trailer of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those trailers where majority of it is just filled up with quotes of how good it is.
Yeah.
You know, which usually tends to be the case. Yeah. Like King's Speech was.
Yeah.
Really good, really good, really good. And it turned out to be quite good. But this is a sort of character piece about a guy who, after dreaming, I think it's set in the 60s during the sort of Cold War, he's getting these visions and he feels there's going to be a some sort of either nuclear attack or some sort of horrible storm, and he starts making a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife thinks it's crazy. He lives in a local town. It's all sort of, you know, psychological sort of thriller. Is he mental? Can he see the future? And it's played by Michael Shannon.
Okay.
And it looks like he delivers a great performance. And we were talking about Michael Shannon.
Well, he comes
shows.
Up every bloody week, Michael yeah. Shannon.
I mean, I've said earlier that he'd be the perfect horror character in a horror film. This isn't a horror, but he obviously goes a bit mental in this. And his friend from Boardwalk, Eli, is in it as well. But that's mm-hmm. the only two people I would recognise. But it looks pretty gripping. Mm-hmm. So look out for Take Shelter.
Okay. Well, a couple of ones that have surfaced on another website that makes computers that you might know. There are a couple of very dodgy-looking horror films. One called Kidnapped, about someone who gets kidnapped. One called Yellow Brick Road is where a whole town of people disappear overnight. It's sort of a Blair Witch-like crossed with The Shining. And at the end of the trailer, you get a creepy voice that goes, "There's no place like home." And yeah, that's stupid. Very stupid. But Straw
that.
Dogs is the big one I've seen. The remake of Straw
actually, a couple of weeks
Dogs.
Ago.
Oh, really?
I didn't mention that, sorry.
Yeah, the remake of the Dustin Hoffman film from 1971, now starring your old friend, James Marsden from Hop.
Oh, Marsden.
Yeah.
The comedian.
And Kate.
That famous comedian.
Yeah, Kate Bosworth. There's also an interesting looking documentary about Conan O'Brien's. I don't know what less internet savvy people in this country are not overly familiar with Conan O'Brien, but he's basically had a big row with Jay Leno about their sort of late night shows, which ended up with Conan walking from his job as host on The Tonight Show. And this is a documentary of him sort of. Picking himself up, going on a big tour, and sort of getting his career back, basically. Yeah. And talking of documentaries as well, last week I reviewed a film that I said was the best film of the year so far. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it didn't hold the title for very long, because last night I saw Senna, which we'll review next week, because it's out next Friday. But get excited.
Brace yourself.
Get excited. It's properly brilliant.
Quickly going back to Straw Dogs. I mean, the original, I haven't seen it, but it's supposed to be fantastic.
It's brilliant,
And it's, I mean, it's one of the basis, one of the films they reference usually in Hot Fuzz, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And also things like Falling Down owes quite a bit to it. The basic story
You've seen
is...
Falling Down, yeah.
I have, yeah.
And
we watched it the other day. It's brilliant, yeah. And the basic premise is there's a very geeky mathematician guy, and he has, you know, quite a attractive girlfriend, maybe out of his league. He always walks away from arguments, but something happens which makes him have to face up, and he basically goes mental.
He goes
on a rampage.
Mucking fental.
It seems like the plot is quite similar to the original. But anyway, this movie is going on forever, so I'll rattle through a couple of new things. There's a new movie poster out for the new Twilight film.
I wondered what that was.
Have you seen this? Is that the worst movie poster you've ever seen? This is for the new Twilight film, Breaking Dawn. And basically the movie poster is a picture of the sky.
Yeah, it looks like a very
nothing,
bad...
nothing on it. I just thought it was worth mentioning because it's so bad.
But
anyway, there's some more news. There's going to be a new Chronicles of Riddick film.
It's been
a long time. What was that, 2003 or something that came out? Pitch Black's actually all right. But Chronicles of Riddick with a sort of floaty Judy Dench was really weird. The Dark Tower, the Stephen film novel that Ron Howard is adapting, is supposed to be shooting now, but unfortunately they've pushed that back, so that's a bit of bad news there. Another one, Hans Christian Andersen. Did you know that The Little Mermaid is a Hans Christian Andersen story?
No,
nor did I. But that's being remade by Sony.
As a film?
Yeah, obviously. What else? Not as a hi-fi. But yeah, basically they're going to give that the Red Riding Hood treatment, it seems. Oh, and that's just guessing from the promotional pictures.
Ariel is still one of the most attractive cartoon characters.
Oh, what? No way. I can think of many more. Well, what about the Maid Marian in Robin Hood?
Yeah, as
Jessica
a fox.
Rabbit? There are loads. Also, you'll like this. Pirates of the Caribbean 4 is now officially the highest grossing film of the year so far, despite coming out on a Wednesday and only being out for 4 days. Which is just unbelievable. I was really looking forward to getting some good Schadenfreude and seeing how badly it did, but unfortunately,
I
hasn't.
Don't believe it.
No, that was in the US. I don't usually get a chance to look at the US box office, but another film that came out in America was Henry's Crime.
Oh.
Guess how much it made in its opening week?
Did it lose money? Did it make minus?
No. You can't lose money.
Well, people might have broken in.
Yeah. No, it made $2,600.
In the whole of America?
Yeah.
But it was released in England first?
Yeah, apparently so.
What did they... So they would have lost money?
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
I'm
good,
so glad.
Because it was bloody awful, apparently.
Yeah,
okay, a bit of Hobbit news.
Hobbit Watch!
Quiet, Mr. Gandalf, you'll scare him off.
Oh, sorry.
Right, a few little bits of Hobbit news. As you'll see, Sherlock cleaned up at the television BAFTAs this week, so that's good news.
Compared to Downton Abbey's 0 points.
Yeah, didn't get anything, did it?
Yeah.
No. Maybe, never mind. But unfortunately, Martin Freeman, who won the Best Supporting Actor, got a bit drunk and let the cat out of the bag that Benedict Cumberbatch is in The Hobbit.
When did he do that?
In an interview afterwards, and then he was like, "Oh no, I'm not supposed to tell anyone that." It was going to be a so we have Sherlock and John Watson are both going to be in it. Another bits of casting news: Stephen Fry.
Yes, I saw.
You see that?
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to be playing, but that'll be interesting. There's also Conan Stevens has been confirmed for the role of Azog the Orc.
Benedict Cumberbatch,
he's
pretty big.
Yeah.
Well done him. I'd be funny if Jackson was like, right, Freeman, that's your last straw, you're out.
Yeah, that
Elijah,
would be bad.
Do you want to...
That would be bad.
That'd be a real shame.
And
but hey, he's a superstar now, so I'll get away with that.
Yeah, good, and deservingly so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's some career, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from his dodgy little turn in Ali G in The House.
Yeah, and he did an ITV sitcom called Hardware.
Yes, that was hard work.
That's what you got to do. To reap the rewards, and he certainly has.
Some other bits and bobs. If you go on Peter Jackson's Facebook page, there's a few more pictures from the set, and there's also lots of set pictures from Tintin, which are worth a look.
On the Jackson page?
On Jackson's Facebook page.
Has he got a second video out yet?
No, not yet. He says there will be one soon. I mean, come on, he's only directing 4 films at the same time. There's also a bit of a hoo-ha about the firefighters have been... revealed to have had a gagging order saying that they won't go to the press and report on any accidents that happened on the Hobbit set. So this is causing a little bit of fuss in New Zealand. Basically 2 people were quite badly hurt this week in an explosion on the set.
But,
you know, hopefully, you know, keep pushing forward. I mean, it's turning into The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, this thing. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't get any worse than that.
It has been sort of... it's kept quiet for a bit.
Yeah, it's not doomed enough. Luckily, there's enough money behind it to keep pushing forward. But anyway, thanks. That's the end of the movie news.
Yeah, big one, that.
Okay. Well, we'll have another song, and then we'll go through the other 2 releases out this week. This is by Bob Dylan. Happy birthday, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
70th birthday. I was going to do a show of playing just Bob Dylan. But because we've played so much Bob Dylan on the show before... we would end up playing tracks that we'd play before, or maybe ones that weren't so good.
Yeah.
Not that there's many non-good Dylan tracks out there, but anyway, this is called Buckets of Rain, and it's from the film Moonlight Mile.
Buckets of rain, buckets of tears, got all them buckets coming out of my ears, buckets of moonbeams in my hand. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand. I've been meek and hard like an oak. I've seen pretty people disappear like smoke. Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. If you want me, honey, baby, I'll be here. Everything about you is bringing me misery. Little red wagon, little red bike. I ain't no monkey, but I know what I like. I like the way you love me strong and slow. I'm taking you with me, honey, baby, when I go. Life is sad, life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I do it for you, honey, baby, can't you tell?
Bob Dylan there with Buckets of Rain. What a beautiful little song. Love it. Love it. Okay, well, I will quickly go through a couple of films, Win Win and a film called Heartbeats. And Heartbeats is a new Canadian film, French-Canadian film by the very, very young filmmaker. I was staggered to see how young he is. Xavier Dolan, who... He's 22.
Right.
And people will know him from the film he did last year, How I Killed My Mother.
When he was 20. Probably 19 years ago.
And that, you know, that got lots of recognition at Cannes and stuff. I think it was in Uncertain Regard. So this is a new film, thematically similar, starring himself and also Niall Schneider, who is in his last film as well, and Monica Chokri. And so he plays a guy called Francis, and he lives with this girl called Marie in Montreal. And it's, again, centred around the Montreal, you know, young people in their 20s dealing with sort of, you know, the issues that people in their mid-20s have.
Yeah.
So he, Francis, is a gay guy who lives with Marie, and the new sort of hunk called Nicolas comes out of the country into the town, sort of taking everyone by storm, played by Niall Schneider. And Niall Schneider is, from whatever sexual standpoint, a beautiful, beautiful man. And so, you know, unsurprisingly, they both sort of fall head over heels for him, really. And so it's basically a relationship piece,
a
love triangle sort of thing. Like, it's sort of a cross between that film Threesome with Lara Flynn Boyle, but a little bit, well, I mean, in plot-wise, and, you know, A Single Man, something
about
like
three
this.
To Tango.
No, very, very far
Lee
away
Campbell,
from this. So what it basically is a harking back to the days of the sort of French New Wave, like Jean-Luc Godard, but also some sort of Asian-y cinema. So It's all very character-led. It's all focused around this central love triangle. They're both interested in him. They don't know if he is interested back on either side. And basically, inevitably, there's lots of bitchy prods. The chemistry bubbles and bubbles and bubbles until, you know, inevitably it reaches a breaking point, and all the, you know, lust and tension boils over and culminates in a sort of pretty spectacular falling out. So it's basically, I mean, I have a problem with films that are really over-stylized, and that was really a problem that I had with Tom Ford's direction in A Single Man, that it was just a little bit too adverty. But this, I mean, I started off, I mean, thinking, oh my, this is just going to be, you know, sweeping like color schemed shots of like autumn landscapes and, you know, not much else. But unfortunately for this film, the substance does sort of meet up with the style. And so it's this strange thing of this anachronistic look back to those new wave films. Do you know much about the new wave, French new wave? It's basically people like Jean-Luc Godard, films like Breathless, films like The Weeknd, that were very small, introspective, sort of dealing with inner turmoil, existentialism, like angst. Very influential, went on to influence the like Italian European cinema in the 70s, and also like Woody Allen, stuff like that. And so it's intercut with these vox pops of people talking about relationships and people who have left them, sort of in the style of something like When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
And then we go sort of back. So this, as I said, there's a juxtaposition between this sort of nostalgic look back at those sort of films of the 50s, and also a very modern setting, because, you know, you're dealing with, you know, explicit homosexual material.
Yeah.
You know, there's one very graphic scene of onanism, which is quite at times, you know, a little bit, woo, you get a little bit taken aback from that. And to be honest, like, I mean, it's staggering to think that it's directed by a 22-year-old. I mean, it's sort of, there are these sort of post-coital scenes that are filmed in pretty much monochrome of separate but very vivid colours, owes a lot to sort of like the trois colours, and also there's things like Hero, sort of Zhang Yimou, what's his name? Yeah, Zhang Yimou, and Wong Kar-wai as well, like Hong Kong cinema. So it is cine literate, but it's not sort of, there's sort of lots of references to James Dean and Hepburn, and so there's even in the plot that it's harking back, they sort of dress in a very sort of James Dean-y 50s way. Yeah.
Is it French, this film?
It's French, yeah, it's French-Canadian, so... Yeah. Which is, you know, a bit of an undersubscribed market in this country. I don't think I've seen many things. I mean, it's quite a weird tucked away part of the world in terms of like distribution wise, and we don't really see much. But I hope that we begin to see a little bit more. I mean, it's slow, obviously, like these sort of character pieces are, and it's. I don't know, it's one of those things that I came out thinking, wow, that was an impressive piece of work. Whether there's enough like depth of character for it actually to resonate any more than you know, a week down the line, we'll yet to see. But I mean, it's very promising, and it's unashamedly sort of referential and flamboyant. But you know, that's not really a bad thing, to be honest. It's well directed and well acted as well. And it's sort of, you know, the study of a doomed relationship in a modern setting thing is done, you know, thousands of times a year. But this will be a very different spin on it, I suppose. So, yeah, I mean, I recommend it.
It doesn't sound like a film I would enjoy.
No, it's not for everyone. And, you know, if you don't like sort of... I mean, it's really not like anything else. I mean, you can give it that. It's pretty original stuff. But, you know, it's quite hard work. Maybe when I saw it very late last night. So, I don't know, maybe with a little bit more time to resonate.
Maybe you dreamt it all. Maybe.
No, yeah. But, yeah, he's a very exciting filmmaker. It looks gorgeous. I suppose Single Man is unfair to compare it to, but actually, despite, I mean, despite the obvious homosexual connection, I mean, on a sort of, on it, the way it's paced, the way it's acted and stylistically, aesthetically, that's probably what it's most most similar to of modern stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, give it a go. I mean, I liked it. Win-win. Moving on. I mean,
from Heartbeats to Win-Win.
Yeah.
So Win-Win, bit, well, hopefully, like, well, what Blitz was intending to do was be a bit of a Ronsel and do exactly what say on the tin.
Mm-hmm.
With Win-Win, it's in the same sense a Ronsel.
Yeah.
But as a sort of Paul Giamatti does another indie comedy.
Yeah, I mean, this really does have indie comedy all over it, but that, I mean, that's not...
I'm not saying
that as a criticism, but this is Thomas McCoy, Thomas McCarthy, even, sorry, who this is his third film. He's a bit of a jack of all trades, but he's famous for his film The Visitors, but probably more well known for The Station Agent, that film with Peter Dinklage about the sort of dwarf who makes some sort of unlikely acquaintances. And that's very much his the sort of thing that all these three films have in common is someone who has a relatively ordinary knife and something comes plonked out of the ether, which sort of changes everything. So it stars Paul Giamatti, as we said, and Amy Ryan, and also Jeffrey Tambor is in it. I absolutely love Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have too much to do in this. But sort of, so Paul Giamatti plays a guy called Mike, who is a sort very middle of the ground, very middle class lawyer who's pretty much struggling to make ends meet. He also has a night job where he teaches wrestling at the local school.
Yeah.
So things aren't going too well, and through a basically quite a convoluted chain of events, Burt Young turns up. You know Burt Young, as in Paulie from the Rocky movies, in The Sopranos and stuff.
Yeah.
And to get some extra cash, he basically becomes Burt Young's guardian and puts him into a home. So he's responsible for him. Little does he know that out of the blue, Kyle turns up, the guy's grandson. He doesn't know he's his grandson. And so Paul Giamatti finds himself with Kyle in his care. So Amy Ryan and Paul Giamatti have to take him into their house with their two young daughters. He looks like he's going to be very problematic, but as luck would have it, he's very good at wrestling.
Yeah, that's very lucky.
Yeah. And so there's this whole thing about the school has its motto of like the home of champions, but they're really crap at wrestling and stuff.
It's weird how some places, you know, well... I'm sure in a lot of countries, but in America, it seems certain little towns have sort of niche sports that they love.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems that wrestling is the sort of town sport here.
Yeah, it very much is. And it's very much set deliberately in a place that is quite disconnected, but also has its own sort of strange sense of identity, I suppose. And so Kyle begins to get involved in the wrestling. They sort of take him in. I mean, the plot of it is pretty predictable. Then we find out that his mother, who's in rehab in Ohio, comes, shall we say, back onto the scene and starts to cause problems for their new relationship and also for the wrestling. And so, you know, it's not a sort of laugh out loud, belly laugh comedy, but it's not really a dramedy, you know, a Paul Giamatti thing. There's some good chuckles and it's very nice and sort of well-rounded, well-acted, and, you know, you'll chuckle, but, you know, it's not like gags.
Yeah.
And there's a nice relationship between Paul Giamatti and his mate Terry, who's an old wrestling partner and stuff. You would have seen in the trailer the clip where he has a heart attack and stuff. He doesn't actually have a heart attack, but you know he's under a lot of stress because of work and stuff like that. And he wrestles into the ground, and you know it's all sort of, oh, don't get me on the ground, it's wet, like that sort of. Yeah. You know, it's not like gag best, but it's funny. But I don't know. I mean, it's very sort of middle class, and the problem, like, very much problems of the majority. So, and very, like, it's focused on normality. Everything's very normal, middle of the road. It's very warm and cuddly. It's not snide or cynical at all. Like, these indie movies sort of can be. It has a very an indie sensibility, but not in the way of something like, what was that stupid Zach Braff thing?
Garden State.
You know, that it can be a bit mopey, and you know, it's a real crowd pleaser, a real heart warmer.
Yeah.
And it's lovely, you know, it's a lovely way to spend 1 hour 40 minutes in the company of these, you know, quite nicely rounded, but you know, at the end of the day, just not overly interesting people, and that's really the problem with it, I suppose.
Yeah.
And Amy Adams is brilliant, and of course, people will know her for she played B.D. Russell in The Wire, and actually, Thomas McCarthy was in The Wire as well. He was in the fifth series of The Wire, so he's an actor and a director, but he's also a writer, and he wrote Up.
Did he?
Yeah, which is quite surprising.
So
he's a bit of a jack of all trades, really.
Yeah, you don't really want to be the jack of all trades. If someone says, you know what, he's the
Well, you do if you're in things like The Wire and Pixar movies.
Yeah, but I'd rather be a master of something.
Yeah, sure.
If I could choose.
Okay.
But I'll take jack of all trades.
So anyway, to sum it up, basically, perhaps it plays itself a little, plays it a little bit safe and shies away from any material that's too serious. But, you know, why should everything be sort of turmoil and complication? It's just, it's a nice little film
that plods along,
and it's funny, and it's, you know, there's no point, like no mood you could be in where you wouldn't want to watch it. It's an hour and 40. It's nice, it's lovely, and Paul Giamatti has very much established his own genre now.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just, because he's so magnetic as well, you know, He really is a bit of a one-off. Every time I see one of these films, I like him more and more.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Barney's version.
You should watch Barney's version. Yeah. I mean,
I've heard sort of different things about Barney. I know a lot of people who really didn't like it.
Oh, dear.
But we'll see.
I liked it, as I mentioned. And then he'll jump into sort of a, put his sort of cruft on and go back to the 17th century and do a few period dramas as well. So he's good at
that
as well.
Maybe. Okay. Well, we will play another song now, and then we're going to talk a little bit about this new online film festival. We got an interview that I pre-recorded early in the week with Hannah Vincent, the lady who runs it all, so that's exciting. But before that, we will listen to a song by Brian Eno, and this is called Skysaw from the film Dogs in Space. Thank you. Okay, that's Brian Eno there with Sky Saw. Well, I haven't actually talked with you about this, have I?
No, not really.
Not so much. But basically, we don't plug things that often on Celluloid Heroes.
No.
But this really is a cool...
Now and then we do.
Yeah, now
plug
and then we
Yazoo,
do.
Plug Yazoo, the chocolate drink once.
That is true, but there are other chocolate drinks available.
Yeah, like Nesquik.
Exactly. But this is a sort of... I thought that if there's film fake... I know filmmakers listen... we've got a few filmmaker friends on Twitter and things, and it really is an interesting sort of concept. So basically what it is a online platform where filmmakers can submit their films, and it's basically a 24-hour channel where that streams, you know, documentaries and lots of different films and stuff, I think.
So you can't, it's not like a carousel where you can pick the film you want to see. They're streamed and you just have to...
You can, yeah. I mean, it's all independent. That's the big thing. Yeah. And there is I think there's an on-demand service. But enough from me. Let's hear it from the proverbial horse's mouth. And I'm glad to say that joining us now from It's On TV is Hannah Vincent. She's also a lecturer in the media arts at Plymouth University. Are you there, Hannah?
I am. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, how are you doing? I'm well.
Very well. Brilliant.
Good, okay.
You.
Well, we've given people a general sort of overview of what It's On TV is and how it works. Do you want to just describe the basic concept and how it sort of came into being?
Yeah, of course. Initially, the concept was created by a pair of ultra-endurance athletes who created documentaries of their expeditions and took them to the festivals. And had great response from the festivals with them, but then found it really, really hard to get picked up from broadcast or to get broader distribution. Mm-hmm. And they found that a lot of the people they spoke to were having the same experiences. There were some filmmakers who'd been picked up by distributors who weren't getting the deal that they thought they were going to get. They weren't getting the exposure that they wanted. So Tark and Katie came up with the idea of an online channel.
Mm-hmm.
Runs like a TV channel. It has a schedule. It has listings. We curate the films to work together. They complement or challenge each other in the listings. So you can dip in and out of it and experience stuff and maybe grab three or four shorts over your lunch break. But also there's the VOD system. So there's the flexible viewing options as well.
Mm-hmm. And is it just shorts or is it documentary or feature films or...?
It's everything. It's, from 2-minute shorts to, 2-hour features. We have fiction films, we have documentaries, animation, everything really. It's for filmmakers to be able to start to earn a revenue and build exposure for their films.
Yeah.
So they might only be on the system for a short period of time, say the minimum 30 days, but then they can go to a distributor and say, this is the reaction I've had, this is the response. This film has done particularly well with viewers in South America or Africa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. So they have a statistics that they can...
Absolutely. They have analytics that can
let
them know about the feedback that they've been getting.
Fantastic. So is it available worldwide?
It is, yes. The whole channel is available worldwide. So we don't geo-block. So your audience is essentially global straight away, which is so exciting. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's sort of like a global film festival, really.
It is, yeah. We curate the films like a film festival. And each film is shown once a day for 7 days in different time slots so that we can make it available to people, working shifts or watching their... internet-connected TVs or online at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Then immediately after the first showing on that linear channel, they go into the VOD system, so you can watch it anytime.
Okay.
They get votes for 30 days, and after 30 days for each film, the votes are collated, and then the top three films in each category, that's documentary, fiction, and animation, are looked at by our panel of industry judges for that month, and a winner is found. So the audience... vote for the shortlist, and the panel of judges pick from that list. So our viewers actually have a real voice in the monthly film festival.
Oh, right. Amazing. I understand there's also a payable scheme as well that viewers can opt into.
So viewers buy into the credit system by buying a bundle of credit, and that is then calculated and deducted per minute. It's not asking a viewer to make a micropayment up front, which we think and have found from our research to be off-putting for viewers who think, like, well, that's a film I might want to watch there. I've got to pay $150 or $3.99 or whatever.
Sure.
And now I can't be bothered. I'm just going to go somewhere else and watch something on YouTube.
And so does some of the profit made from this go back to the filmmakers themselves?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We share the net revenue 50-50. So we don't make money unless the filmmakers make money.
Oh, right, perfect. So just tell us a little bit about how any filmmakers listening can submit their work.
Okay, so filmmakers can go to www.itson.tv/static-page, and that's where they can set up an account, which is completely free, and they can manage all of their film submissions from within that account. So they can submit the information, they can upload their film to us, which is, again, completely free, because we thought that filmmaking is very expensive, as it is. Paying fees to enter loads of film festivals can just wipe you out. So that's why we've made it free to submit.
Okay, brilliant. Well, it sounds like a very exciting new project. I have to say that when we first heard about it, we had it rolling here for quite a while. And it's really quite an exciting and very relatively simple way to get your stuff shown. So congratulations on the site. It really is a great piece of work.
Thank you.
And in terms of Shedling, just one more question. Is there a watershed?
There is. We're trying to follow industry standards by alerting people when there are films which have maybe more adult content or language. We are working to put a parental guidance system in place. But as with everything, it takes time to kind of get all the functions up and running. So that is the plan for the future.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us about it for a little bit. We wish you all the best, and we can't recommend people enough to check it out.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, you too.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Well, she sounds just darling.
She is. She was lovely, actually. So check that out. It's on .tv. There's a little blog post on our website, so you can have a look at that as well. Right, should we crack on with the Stinker and the Stonker?
Yeah, let me get my book out.
I'm the Stonker. I'm the Stinker.
What's the Stonker?
Mr. Stinker.
Okay.
Okay.
High pitch today.
Yeah, nice little sort of party.
Okay. Crack on.
Right. Stinkers and Stonkers, usual routine. What would you like first?
Let's have Stinkers. By the way, if you haven't listened before, this is the point of the show where we go through the week's television and I choose one Stinker and one Stonker.
From my shortlist.
Okay. Crack on.
Okay, so Wednesday tonight, if you're... you might just catch this. It's on BBC Three. It's a terrible film. It's Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life.
Ooh, the sequel this week.
Yeah. I chose that.
If anything, it's worse than Tomb Raider, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. The sequels have it. It's worse. Thursday, 11 p.m, ITV3, The Calcium Kid.
Ooh, yeah.
And then there's nothing till Sunday. And then on 3:55 on Film 4, and for you golf fans out there, you should be watching the PGA Wentworth Championship instead of this.
Yeah.
But
or if you've got a life. Then
well, if
avoid
you got a life, avoid that. And Inspector Gadget on Film 4.
Oh dear, I forgot they ever made
that. It's not
a
marathon of the films. It's Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Cool. I saw it in the cinema.
Did
what
you?
An idiot.
What an idiot you are. Oh dear. 5:55 on the same day on ITV2 is Step Up to the Streets.
Step Up to the Streets.
The Streets. Yeah. I didn't. There was no curl on there. I think they were just trying. It was a pun.
Yeah.
I suppose it is a pun.
Well, yeah. Well, because it's the second one.
Yeah, and the two. Yeah, so it's a pun. So you've been warned. 7:10, Film 4, Wedding Date.
Okay.
9
what, p.m. Hang on, which one's Wedding Date?
You know what?
They're all the same. There's so many.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. It must have Jason Briggs in it, though. 9 p.m. on BBC One is finally what I meant to say a couple of weeks ago. Pirates of the Caribbean, the Death Chest.
Dead Man's Chest.
Dead Man's Chest.
Well,
sorry, shorthand there. But Death Chest sounds better.
Yeah.
If you're listening. Jerry. And then we get to Monday, so the day after Sunday. And it's a bank holiday Monday, so I've circled Monday in my notes. And a couple of stinkers on bank holiday. 5:10 p.m. on Film 4 is Jungle to
Jungle, okay.
Yeah. And that's a two in there. It's not a sequel, so it's not a pun.
Sure.
And that's Tim Allen trying to be funny. Yeah. At 10:15 on ITV, after the massive success of Miss Congeniality, they brought a second one out. This is it. Miss Congeniality 2.
Yeah. Can't say I've seen it, unfortunately. But Miss Congeniality was on telly the other day.
Yeah.
And it's painfully bad.
Oh, there we are. So the second one surely can't be any
better. Well, could be worse.
Worse, yeah.
Who knows?
Okay, two more films on the Tuesday. We're on Tuesday now, so you've had a lovely bank holiday weekend. You're back to work.
Yep.
You don't want to get home and watch Guess Who on Film 4.
Okay, no, you
which
don't.
Is sort of, I mean, it's sort of the Afro-American version of Meet the Parents, but Ashton Kutcher's involved. And Bernie Mac's the dad, and he's like, you can't marry a white man.
Yeah.
And that's what that film's about. And on 10:35... In the same sort of variety of stereotypes, we've had it on before. So ITV is Mickey Blue Eyes.
Okay, well, we've had that so many times. Okay, well, probably the worst out of that lot is, well, you know, just because I'm so angry with it at the moment,
yeah,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Out. But you're right, because...
Cop out, sorry, but it's probably... Yeah. It's not the worst there. It's not worse than Cradle of Life. It's got to be Cradle of Life, sorry.
Yeah. That is terrible.
And anyone who's ever been to Cambodia as well will have an extra amount of hatred for that film.
And as for Calcium Kid, I haven't actually seen it.
But. Okay. Right, Stonkers then?
Stonkers. Starting again tonight at 9 p.m. on E4, so you can catch us on E4 Plus One if you just tune in. Is Election, sort of a dark comedy with Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick, Inspector Gadget, none other.
Yeah.
And at 10 p.m. tonight on ITV4, and I must say now ITV4 has got the majority of Stonkers this week, which is rare. It's Carlito's Way. Okay, and then Thursday on ITV4 at 10 o'clock is Enter the Dragon. If you've never seen a Bruce Lee film, that's no bad one to start with. Friday, 10 o'clock on ITV4 again is Unforgiven.
Okay.
Okay. Saturday, 9:45 on BBC Three, sort of to make up for The Cradle of a Life.
Yeah.
Is Kill Bill Volume 1, which I know you don't like, but
yeah.
Hey, for me, it's a stonker. It's one of my favourite films.
And that's a DVD in the prize bag as well.
Is it? Oh, well, good. 9:50, 10 to 10, or 9:50 on ITV4. You'll be up most of the night watching this, but it's a great film. It's Deer Hunter.
Okay. I don't think The Deer Hunter's actually that good.
Really? Well, yeah. You know, again... You know,
okay, it's your list.
It's not, yeah. It is my list.
Sorry, I'll behave.
ten p.m. As well. So if you think the first 10 minutes of Deer Hunter's terrible, flick over to Mall 4 and watch Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay.
You know, it's nice and gooey. And then on Sunday... Oh, five p.m. on Channel 4, one of my all-time favourite films. I'd probably put it in my top five.
Mm-hmm.
It's Home Alone.
Ooh.
Which is... You know,
why the hell's that on?
I don't know.
How strange.
Yeah,
never mind.
But, you know, you just about get away with
what
it.
What film was it that you watched that had Marv from Home Alone in it? Can you remember?
Yes. He was in
last
one
year.
Scene. It was this year. It was the next 3 days.
Oh, yeah, the next 3 days.
Which I kept on getting wrong. It was like 3 days later.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the next 3 days. He's in that for like a minute. Yeah. 9 p.m. on Film 4. And this isn't a great film, but I put it on just because it's there to sort of remind you that the new one's coming out soon. It's X-Men.
Okay.
And it's great.
And we'll have the review for X-Men First Class for you next week.
Yes. Which will be great.
So that's exciting. Well,
but there are more.
There are more? Okay,
got
come
to
on.
Bank holiday.
Let's go.
11:35 on the Sunday on ITV4. Again, is Boogie Nights.
Okay.
So a pretty good film, that. And then we get onto the bank holiday. And we got Monday, 5 p.m. on BBC One. Joint first favourite Pixar for me is Boogie... not Boogie Nights. That's not Pixar. It's WALL-E.
Okay.
10 p.m. on ITV4, the last of the ITV4 series, is Blazing Saddles.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, which is a sort of really... but I put it on because some people love it. I find it very funny.
Is this your asterisk?
It's 10 p.m. No, I've got a couple of asterisks. It's Dodgeball, Channel 4.
No way. Sorry.
But if you want a laugh, if you had a terrible bank holiday and you want to pick yourself up, you can watch it.
And don't watch that.
But I've got two asterisks here.
Yeah, okay.
The little cartoon characters. first one, which I originally put down as a stonker, and I was like, what am I thinking? Mm-hmm. Is Face Off. You know, again.
No, Face Off's brilliant.
Yeah, but it's not a stonker.
Yes, it is. Mm. I mean, Face Off is great fun.
Well, great fun.
I mean, I'd even be tempted to have it as the best.
Okay, well, I'll put it on there.
Yeah, well, it's not going to win, but it's on there. Okay. And the your other obelix?
The real... that was my asterisk. My obelix is Titanic is on 6:25 on Channel 4. And the reason I mention that, you know, it was one of the biggest films of the generation. Won a lot of Academy Awards for no particular reason.
Yeah.
And it's now on Channel 4 at 6:25. So if you want to look how bad...
Do you know why
it's
because... In April 2012, Titanic 3D will be hitting your cinema.
Oh, really?
Please don't go and see it.
Oh, no. If anything, you go back and you think, that what, it's 98, I think?
Titanic is
14
so
years ago.
Boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even I like remember seeing it at the cinema and being wowed by it. It's a bit like Avatar. I mean, how did I come out of Avatar thinking that was any good?
Yeah,
It is dreadful.
Yeah.
And so is Titanic. Jim Cameron has just got a way of...
Sort of brainwashing
brainwashing it. Titanic is a real stink machine.
Yeah, that's why I put it on.
Although there is a exciting BBC drama that's coming out, a six-parter, written by Julian Fellowes about the Titanic soon with Hugh Bonneville and Timothy West and stuff.
Hugh Bonneville in it.
Hugh Bonneville's in it, yeah.
And the Julian Fellowes thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Is that on the Titanic or like the lead up to the Titanic?
No, I think it's about
the aftermath.
Well, it's a six part thing. So they're shooting it in Hungary at the moment.
Well, and in all honesty, Titanic should have been put into six parts because it's so bloody long.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I'm going to throw a little curveball here, and I'm going to say Blazing Saddles because I love Blazing Saddles.
It's a lot of fun,
And I think we've had The Unforgiven before. So, crack on. I mean, we're running quite late, so we'll crack on. This is a song. We don't usually play instrumental stuff from the movies.
No, I was like, that's our first instrumental song.
Yeah, well, this is from 28 Days Later from John Murphy's score, and it's called In the House, In a Heartbeat. Have you got any idea which one this might be?
Exactly what it is. I've got it on my playlist.
Okay, cool, man.
Thank you. Hey, this is Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes Radio.
It was a question on your lips, and now it's dribbling down your chin. You simply have to know, or you'll be straight back on the gin. The coronet is zeitgeist of the room that we are in. What's in the studio bin?
Some pants and Football Manager 2010. For Windows.
What's in the studio bin?
Well, that was interesting. Just quickly before we get our fate sealed by the Quizmaster, we'll take you through the DVD top 10. So in at number 10, new entry, first week in the chart, The Walking Dead, the complete first season.
Right.
Now, I haven't watched the Walking Dead yet.
No.
I've heard mixed things. Some people say it's amazing and some people say it's really sort of cliched and boring, but I can't comment on that. Number 9, down a couple of places.
HP in the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, boring second time round, but you know, if you've invested that amount of time in the saga, you got to complete it. Oh my goodness. Number 8,
the
Pirates of the Caribbean Collection, the trilogy. Yeah. Quite possibly the stinkiest trilogy of all time.
Yeah.
In at number 7, this is obviously due to the second part being released tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll have the review for that next week, I assume.
Yeah.
Do you want to see that?
Yeah.
Good, I'm not seeing
it.
Unless I lose and you make me see it. But this is The Hangover. Now, number 6, who buys this?
I know.
Box set, season 1, Spartacus, Blood and Sand, which is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
John Hannah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen trailers to it.
It's mad. It's absolutely
mad. The guy I live with was like, can we watch that? I was like, no.
Yeah, it's, oh, dearie me. In at number 5, Family Guy season 10, whatever. In at number 4.
How funny. We were talking about this earlier. It's 3 days later. No, it's not. It's the next 3 days.
Yeah, which you thought was all right. Sort of, you quite enjoyed
it. It was a good dad thriller. Yeah. You know, you got bad dad thrillers, you got good dad thrillers, good dad thriller.
Yeah. Number 3, we were off for Christmas, so we didn't have to torture ourselves with Gulliver's Travels. Jack Black is
that slips out
big Gulliver good. Thing. Who else was in it? Catherine Tate
Some
other people.
Emily Blunt, James Corden, Billy Connolly.
James Corden.
And then Jason Segel.
In at number 2, new entry. Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan.
I haven't seen that, so I should.
You haven't seen it, have you not? Oh, well, maybe you should rent the DVD. Blockbuster. Have you seen what they do now at Blockbuster?
No.
They've slashed everything. They're obviously just about to go under.
They are. Yeah.
And now it's like 99p.
Is it
for a Blu-ray or DVD?
Okay.
It's amazing. So yeah, it's really great.
When I first DVD out, they'll probably bust before they ask for it back. So
yeah.
Little tip for you.
But they make money off computer games. Black Swan, what was I going to say? Yeah, first time I saw it, I thought it was a little bit sort of overly melodramatic. Second time around, absolutely loved it. In at number one, well, not in at number one, it's third week in the chart. It's not going anywhere, it's The King's Speech.
No, and I'll be there for a while.
Okay. All right then, well, I wonder what we're going to be seeing next week. It's time for the Quizmaster's question.
Two men, one film. Who will see it? The Quizmaster will decide.
Okay, this is the point of the show where it starts to get a little bit hairy. Tempers begin to fray and, you know, things all take a little bit of a turn for the worse.
I hope I've seen this week's film.
Yeah.
Might help me.
Oh, Quizmaster's here. Hello, how are you doing, Quizmaster?
Very well.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Fire away then, please.
How are you?
Oh, we're
no,
well.
We're
yeah,
right.
Sorry, rude of me.
Oh, well, oh, well.
In the film, you say Love, Jack, in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Yeah.
What I'd love to know to the nearest decimal is how popular a rating it got on IMDb.
On IMDb?
As of today?
Yeah.
Okay. So the decimal, well, there's only...
Well, that's voted for... Hang on, wait, sorry, let's go. 30 seconds
from
now.
They only do one decimal. They don't do two decimals, do they? They don't do like...
So to the nearest, as in not to the nearest integer.
Okay.
Okay, right. Well, I mean, it's voted for by people. People are idiots and they like it. So I'm going to say...
Oh, I've got to get my pen out.
I think that's your pen. I've also been chewing it throughout the show, so I'm sorry about that. I thought it was mine.
You
got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
We'll change it to the last minute.
He's gone.
Last minute.
Okay. You've changed it, have you?
Last minute.
Shall I say what I've gone for?
Yeah.
I've gone for 6.4.
No, my original answer was 6.3. I changed it to 7.2.
Oh, that's high. That is high, mate. Oh, I can hear the quizmaster chuckling.
Chuckling away.
Because he's drunk in the pub.
He's laughing because it obviously was 6.3, wasn't it? Go on.
The correct answer is 7.1.
Oh, yes!
Fiddlesticks.
Fiddly-dee.
Oh, dear. It's a right little back and forth at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah,
thanks very much, quizmaster.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
What a crap question. I mean, what can I do?
You changed yours from 5 to 6.
No, I didn't. I just can't write very well. Yeah. So have you had a chance to think about what you might be sending me to?
Yeah, I thought about it.
Because actually the worst film of the week in my book, you'll quite want to see.
Hangover 2.
Yeah.
We're talking about sequels.
So I'm out of the bag there. Oh.
Yeah, because there's another sequel coming out tomorrow.
Oh, that X-Men thing.
No. That comes out on the 1st of June, which is
that's the date of our next show.
So you'll get to see that.
Yeah.
While I'm busy away doing my other job.
Yeah.
So that's annoying. But to even that out, because I think Matthew Vaughan's going to do a terrific job of X-Men, you're going to see Diary of the Wimpy Kid 2.
Roderick's Revenge.
Roderick Rules.
Roderick Rules, okay. Well, fact fans, my middle name is Broderick.
Yeah.
So,
First name's Jack. Yeah. Jack Sparrow didn't help.
No, it didn't. That is very true. Good connection. Okay. Well, that's a shame.
I'll see The Hangover 2. I imagine, to be honest, I'll be disappointed considering I did enjoy the first.
Okay. So lots of reviews next week. Then we'll have that piece of rubbish.
Yeah.
Hangover 2, X-Men, and Senna.
Yes.
So at least we've got one definite brilliant film, and hoping that X-Men will deliver.
Yeah,
so so that's it for this week. Any extracurricular activities for you? Been up to anything?
No.
Shadow Line?
Oh, yeah, I'll be watching that.
I thought the last episode of the Shadow Line was a little bit disappointing.
Well, the third one.
Yeah. There was a bit where she has a fight with that guy, you know, and it's like, if you're a policeman, you would definitely just arrest him. He hit you in the face.
There's a brilliant line. No, I'll talk about that because that was one, the only bad scene I thought in it. But he says something. He says something like scissors. I win. Or something.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like no, don't put that.
Yeah, rock beats scissors or something. Yeah. Terrible.
Because he's got a gun. She's got a coat hanger.
Yeah. Brilliant. And obviously you're going to be you and your fellow glory hunting friends getting excited about Saturday night.
Yeah, there's a lot of sports on this weekend. Obviously, cricket starts tomorrow if you're boring.
Yeah.
Golf starts tomorrow if you're boring.
Whatever.
And there's the Champions League final. So good luck to Ryan and Imogen.
Well, we can talk about him, unlike some other people that we nearly named last week and got ourselves into all sorts of silly bother.
Yeah, but good luck. Good luck to the Reds. That's Manchester United. Good luck to them. Good luck.
Whatever. Okay. Well, that leaves us with nothing else to do than to say thanks very much for listening, as usual. And we'll see you next week with all of those reviews. We'll just give you one last chance to listen to this week's accent competition before we go.
The name for a father sounds like goat. I make mistake.
Okay, so if you think you know who that is, get in just by the usual channels. CelluloidHeroesRadio.com/competition. We'll leave you with a song from the film Coachella, and this is by the Chemical Brothers, and it's called Music:Response. Thanks very much for listening. See you next week.
Bye. Music.
Music that triggers some kind of response.
Previous reviews, or to get in contact with the show, visit celluloidheroesradio.com.